Please open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 in your Bibles. That's where the main part of the message will be taken from. Pastor Lisa, please read us our scriptures, but start with 2 Thessalonians 1:11, please.
With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. And from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Our message today is titled, What Do You Pray For? What do you pray for? Because we don't want to waste our prayers or our prayer time. Our prayer time is limited. We only have so many hours in a day. We're busy people. What do we pray for when we pray? We don't want to waste our prayers or our prayer times. I think of our president. He was on the beach recently in Florida, and he found an old lamp. I don't know if you saw this on the news. He rubbed it, and a genie came out. And the genie says, as you can imagine, you have three wishes. And the president said, really? He said, you know what? I'm sick and tired of everybody dragging me into court and suing me. I want to abolish the courts in the world. And the genie said, done. He said, good. And the genie said, you're out of wishes. And the president said, hey, wait a minute. I get three. And the genie said, sue me. So anyway, so it is with our, that we don't waste our wishes or our prayers, right? And if I want direction on prayer, I go to the source, which is the book that's hopefully in your hands, the Bible. That's where if I want to know how do I pray, who do I pray to, why do I pray, and what do I pray for, those answers are going to be in the scriptures. And I'm a student of God's word, as I hope you are too. But I'm also a student of human nature. I'm observant. And what I've observed is that the two, God's word and human nature, are in misalignment in our faith. What I'm saying is that the things that we pray for most often are not the things that the Bible models us to pray for. Our two scriptures give us a glimpse of the Apostle Paul's frequent prayer requests for his friends, the church. And it's remarkable that in all of his writings, Paul's prayers for his friends never ask for changes for their situation. What I mean is that these people had lives filled with dangers and hardships. It's first century, you're a new faith, a new religion. They're persecuted. They live amongst sickness and disease. They don't have the ER room. They don't have vaccines. They don't have any of these things. They live in sickness and disease. They're oppressed by the government. The government does not like their new faith and lifestyle. Their families don't like it. They're estranged from their families, right? They turn to Christ. The family disowns them. And yet, Paul never prays. He never writes that he's praying that any of that would change. Their Christian life was extremely difficult. I chuckle when someone tells me how hard it is to be a Christian today. Maybe at work or at school. Oh, it's so hard. And I say, really? I always ask them, would you rather be a first century Christian or a 21st century Christian? Anybody, you know, they might take you to the ball game, but they don't throw you to the Lions during the seventh inning stretch, right? It's a little different. So it was a lot harder in Paul's time. The Apostle Paul's friends had a much harder life than ours. Yet in these prayers, you'll not see one request for a better emperor. You'll not see one request for a better government, for protection from invaders, or even for their food situation. Paul doesn't pray for the things we would usually have at the top of our list to God the Father. Don't misunderstand me here. It's obviously not wrong to pray for such things. Jesus told us to pray, deliver us from the evil one. Jesus told us to pray, Father, give us this day our daily bread, meet all our needs. It's not wrong to do them things. Paul himself tells his churches to pray for peace and pray for good government. What I'm saying is look at what he asks most frequently for his friends, for the churches. He told them you should be praying for these things, but what did he pray for them? He prayed for what he believed was the most important thing that God could give them. What is that? Did you catch it in the scriptures? It's this. Paul prayed that they would know God better. That was his prayer for them, that they would know God better. That's it. That's the most important thing we could ask for any of our friends or loved ones, that we would know him better. It's the most important thing we should ask for ourselves, that we would know him better. I want to know him better. I want to know him more intimately and have a better grasp of his love and power. That's why Pastor Lisa did a fantastic job with those songs. Because it fits perfectly with the Word of God and this message today. Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, and by the way, if you were digging around a little bit, you'd say, what do you mean, ever since I heard about your faith? He planted the church. So what's he talking about? He's talking about he's hearing good reports that they're not just going to church, they're doing things. They're doing things for God. And he hears about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people. It means living the faith, not just believing it. Faith, remember, faith isn't just believing. Faith is acting like what you believe is real. That's what faith means. Verse 16, he says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. What does he pray for? Verse 17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And how will you know him better, according to the Apostle Paul? Through the spirit of wisdom. Through God's Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, and through revelation. Revelation, spending time in God's presence, in worship, in prayer, and in his word. God reveals himself through these things. And you meet God in service to others. Looking for God? Get out and serve. That's where he is. It's a trick little question, good at a party, you know. Hey, if Jesus came back today, where is he this morning? Where is he tonight while you're standing there with your drink? Well, he's probably not at this party. He's probably with the poor. He's probably visiting the sick. He's probably visiting. Yeah, that's where you find God. God's not in the buildings. He's in those places where Jesus said, when you fed people that were hungry, when you gave them things to drink, when I was lonely, when I was you, yeah, he's with those people, right? So that's the revelation where you find the Lord. And this, verse 18, Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened or opened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. We sang it not a few minutes ago. Open the eyes of my heart. That's what it's straight from Scripture, right? To see what is God going to open the eyes of your house? I look around here and it's an older crowd, and you all got glasses or you're wearing contacts because our eyes needed to be fixed and changed so we could see the world. We need spiritual eyes. We need spiritual glasses. You need spiritual context. You know, turn your cell phone off, lady. I mean, that ringtone is just, I mean, that's a new trick. You get a baby ringtone. Nice try, you know, nice try. So yeah, we need new eyes. Jesus is the lens through which we see the world. When we have Jesus glasses on, when we're wearing Jesus contacts, we're not so harsh to people. We don't walk around with the bad attitude because we're seeing it the way Jesus sees it, every situation. So but according to the Apostle Paul, we're going to see three things is what he's praying. We're going to see our calling, we're going to see our inheritance, and we're going to see his power. So he says, he prays that you would know the hope to which he has called you, your calling. Why are you here? Why are you here in the year 2025 in Northeast Ohio? What's the call on your life from God? Is it to watch TV? Probably not. That's probably not the call on your life. Is it just to eat, sleep, work? Probably that's not God's call on your life. There's a bigger call on your life. And he wants you, your heart to be open so that you know the call and the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, that you're called into this incredible, you know, everybody tells me, oh, my family is bad now, or I grew up in this family, and they carry that around with them, like the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner. Remember that story, the albatross around your neck? And it's like, you're not in that family anymore. Why are you harping on that? Why are you harping about how you're not in that family anymore? You have the glorious inheritance of his holy people. Abraham is your father now. Had a bad father? Abraham's your father now. That's what Paul's saying. I wish you could, God could open the eyes of your heart that you would know it. And then the third thing, that you would finally grasp his incomparably great power for us who believed. And we talked about that earlier, and we commented on that. We forget that, right? We forget this incredible power that we have. We have incredible power, right? And if we only understood that, that's the revelation, that we would grasp the strength and the power that the Father has granted us. If we only knew it and understood it. And he says this, about that power. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. We sang that song. It's not just a catchy song. It's absolutely truth from Scripture. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you. It lives in you. And seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. I love this. I love Ephesians. Anybody else love Ephesians? It is a fantastic book of the Bible. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. That's a lot of power. That's a lot of position. That's a lot of position. And let me ask you something. It says here, I see the word above every name, and the same power. It's the same power that the mighty strength that he exerted when he rose Christ from the dead. So you have the power to do anything in Christ. Stuck in addiction, stuck in bitterness and anger. You stuck there. Can't get out, just keep falling back into it like a phonograph needle that keeps popping back to the same old song. Too weak to change? I know someone. They were stuck in a tomb. They were dead. Stone dead, 3 days. And he changed his life from death to glorious life. Let me ask you something. Which is harder, your problem or Jesus being dead? I used to say that when we had the virus. We're all trusting God to raise us from the dead, right? Yeah, every Christian, every hand has to go up, or else you're not a Christian, right? But we're terrified of a virus? I'm not saying we're stupid about it, but it shouldn't keep us paralyzed in fear. Otherwise, we wouldn't ever drive in a car. We wouldn't ever walk on a sidewalk in case a car would hit us. The same, whatever we're going through, if we think we don't have the power to get out of that, if we think we're always going to be that way, people say that to us, you'll always be the way you are. You can't change. I don't know. God doesn't say that. He says, actually, you have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. If he can raise Jesus from the dead and you have that same power, can't you get over your problems through the power of Christ? It's a simple question. It's yes. And Paul says, oh, that you could understand in your head and your heart that you've been given the same power that raised Christ and the same place in the cosmos, above everything, above all sin, above all evil, above all addiction, above all foul attitudes in life. And this is a blanket promise, by the way. There's no exclusions. There's no fine print. You know, we don't even read the fine print anymore, right? Every time you download something, it's got 6 pages of stuff. And then you click, yes, I accept that. And Lord knows what you just clicked on, right? But there's no fine print. There's no exclusions. It doesn't say, well, unless up until the age of 7, this happened to you, or unless, no, you're free from everything. You don't have to be stuck the way you are. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Lives in you. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Maybe your Bible, look in your Bible. Does yours say most things? No? Does your version say he placed a whole bunch of stuff, but not the problem that you're dealing with? Is that what yours says? He placed all things under his feet, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And he is the head of the church, the community of the saints. All things under Jesus. He's above all things. I pray that you would put him above your own life. If he's above all things, isn't he above you? Why do you keep him down here? Why do you keep yourself above Christ and his power? Why have you not given him your whole life? He can't rule from down there. He can only rule when he's above you. Otherwise, you're always going to go that you'll be the same way. You cannot change. You cannot serve. You cannot love God. We were talking yesterday morning. Everybody loves God. Who doesn't love God, right? I mean, come on. Everybody loves God. Until you read your Bible and you read that if you don't like people, if you've got a problem, that person over there, I can't stand them. Bible says you can't possibly love God. You have no concept of loving God if you hate people. Because the Apostle John says, how can you hate someone? How can you not love someone that you see when and claim to love someone you can't see? Right? That's an eye opener for we were challenged yesterday. We were challenged. And the Apostle Paul says, I pray that you would know him better. That's his prayer. That should be at the top of our list of prayers for ourselves and for all our loved ones. Yeah, we want them to be healthy. Yeah, we want this. We want good things for them. We want career. We want relationships for our kids and our grandkids. We want them to know Christ because that's the most important thing. It should be at the top of our... And when you know Christ and have a relationship with him, all the rest falls into place. It's the most important thing. It's the key to life. With this in mind, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 1:11, which, like a phonograph record, keeps coming back to me. I cannot get past this verse. We constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. That he would make you worthy of what he's called to do. His calling is the voice of God. Problem is, we put our fingers in our ears. We put earphones on. We crank the radio so we don't hear it figuratively in life. So we don't hear the call God has for us. That he would make us worthy of that calling. And by his power, bring to fruition. That means make it happen. Every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. All those good things you wish you could do, Paul says, I pray that you would be worthy by the power of God to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.